This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter Rosenberg!
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to ENN. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
I want
to
jump him hard.
Good evening to Don.
I know everything, and it's nothing.
And good evening to Michael again.
Nobody did it up like Chris Carlin and Bart Hahn.
That's a great point. I mean, you can't even knock Michael for that. You know what else I think we should not forget about? Can we also, if it's possible, Anthony, say good evening to Spike?
Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo, everyone. Mr. Antetokounmpo. Speaking of Mr. Antetokounmpo, he spoke last night after the Nets' big win over the Bucks at the Barclays Center. Here's Giannis talking about just how damn good that Kevin Durant is.
One of the best scorers to ever play the game. It's tough. You know, like, he's the best player in the world right now, and we gotta beat him as a team. We gotta guard him as a team. We gotta make him make tough shots like tonight. We just gotta keep doing our job, and hopefully he's gonna miss.
Jay Will on KJZ earlier talking about KD's performance.
KD and Kyrie often refer to themselves as artists, and last night, I'm sitting there watching the game, and I'm saying to myself, this is the best single-game performance in KD's career. I mean, 49 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists, and I didn't want to break it down. You know I love breaking down games. I just sat back and said, damn, watching it. I started thinking about, okay, 2019, he dropped 50 versus the Clippers.
Yeah.
All right. But this, the way he impacted the game, the amount of pressure that was on him leading into this game. James Harden was out there with one leg. Kyrie Irving's on the sideline, not even... You know what I mean? Like, it was KD. Obviously, other guys stepped up, but this game will go down as the moniker for KD's career. It really will, because he is this special of a talent offensively. He's the greatest scorer the game has ever seen. And last night, proved it. It proved it.
Well, it's funny what PJ Carlissimo said. He said he was hoping that he wasn't broadcasting the game. He just wanted to enjoy it. These are basketball lifers that feel this way.
I'm trying to decide if I agree that he's the greatest scorer the game's ever seen.
Yeah, that's a little much.
Like, scorer.
Yeah, I mean, now, Pete Maravich wasn't a great scorer?
Well, he didn't say not a great. He said the greatest. And sorry, Michael, I know this isn't a 1986 instructional video, but no one thinks Pistol Pete's the greatest scorer of all time.
No, but he's a great scorer. So, I mean,
I was thinking Kobe, though. Is that gone? Like, can KD score more at will than Kobe could? Or does he just mean the weapon, the tools in his belt? You know what I'm saying?
Ask him.
What do you think,
Don? Nasty to me about Maravich.
Sorry.
Well,
it was
who's
just
in the conversation? He's obviously, because you think of the great scorers, even in recent history, you know, he's better than Melo, right? Is he?
You mean pure scorers? That's what you're saying, Don?
Is he better than Kobe?
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think he's better than Kobe. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think sometimes we get caught up, right? So everything's the greatest. This is the greatest game. He's the greatest scorer. But when you really think it bothers you, and then you start to think, all right, it's not that outlandish because who? But you brought up Kobe, and how's it better than Kobe?
Like, KD is a more natural shooter than Kobe, even though Kobe's a phenomenal shooter. But I feel like I'd take Kobe going to the rack over KD. Although I'll tell you, he can go to the rack. He did it yesterday a bunch. I mean, listen, he's in the conversation. So regardless, and, you know, and Pistol Pete had a hell of a career too. Averaged 24 for his career. His best year was in New Orleans in 1976, averaged 31 a game.
But I think what we do sometimes is because you're good at other things, it devalues the one thing. Like, because Kobe was so all-around great, doesn't devalue how great a scorer he was. Like, from a hockey perspective, people go, oh, the greatest goal scorer ever is Ovechkin. Look what he's done. You know, because Gretzky was great at assists. He was, but let's not forget he also scored more goals than anybody in the history of the sport.
See?
Let's not devalue Gretzky because he was an all-around better player than Ovechkin just because Ovechkin was a scorer. But he's not as well-rounded as Kobe. But does that mean Kobe was less of a scorer?
Right. Same with MJ.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just jump past MJ. The guy averaged 37 for a season.
And what about Wilt? What, just because he was a foot taller than everybody else, we don't count it?
By the way, you know who was a hell of a scorer? A pound for pound. Don, you love pound for pound. You know who was a hell of a scorer? Allen Iverson.
Yeah.
Hell of a
scorer. How about Jabbar?
Yeah. How about the scorer? He's the scorer.
Yeah.
Karl Malone, too. Let's hear from Kevin Durant on his approach going into Game 5.
I didn't even think about nothing but just each possession. You know, I was just trying to win each possession, and I didn't think about how many points I had or shot attempts, like, you know, or rebounds, assists. It was more so like, just let me do what I need to do each possession. And that's the approach I always take, and I was able to rack up some points. I did play every minute, so, you know, that helped with my point total. But for the most part, I just tried to stay engaged on the defensive side of the ball all game.
You know what moment he was keeping track of his points? I mean, at least I thought. Michael, you were listening at the end of the game, right?
Yep.
So you wouldn't have seen it. But Don, you were watching, correct?
Yes.
Did you see when he missed the free throw, which kept him from 50? And he screamed an F-bomb?
Yeah.
Now, it could have just been because he wanted the free throw to wrap up the game, but I also thought, oh, he knows he's not hitting 50 now. And that 50 spot in a playoff game, it hits different. Like, 49, isn't it funny that 49 is incredible, but literally 50 is the definition of hitting different?
Yeah.
It hits different.
It does. And then Tatum just did it 2 weeks ago, not in the same spot, obviously. This was quite a spot. Here's Steve Nash on Durant's epic Game 5.
Historic performance. I mean, he played the entire game. He barely missed, got to the line, 17 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. I mean, 49 points. I mean, it's ridiculous what he's able to do. You know, we know he's capable of nights like this, but to do it tonight, you know, we lose Kai. You know, James obviously is soldiering through, you know, his ailments. We're down bodies, we're wounded. And for him to have the toughness, the mentality, you know, that's what makes him one of the all-time greats. And so this is a performance that, you know, a signature performance, you know, for Kevin. And it was beautiful to watch.
And, I love the fact that he didn't call James Hardy.
Yeah, that's definitely not a basketball thing.
Yeah,
Kevy, Hardy.
You brought up Tatum, and you know, I think the only thing that devalued that, Peter, was that nobody gave Boston a chance to win the series.
Correct.
If they had a better chance of winning the series, that would have been a historic performance as well.
It's a historic
flip on the radar screen.
History, franchise.
That's right.
Do you know that if Tatum does that again in Game 4, and they tie the series? Totally different conversation. But like, you know, I, for example, thought the Celtics might get Game 3 and then go on to get the gentleman's sweep, which is what they ended up getting.
But there was a legitimate, I believe this series is over if they lost last night. Like, so, yeah. So that's as big a Game 5 as you're going to get, because I don't think they recover. Technically, they're still alive, but I think it would be over tomorrow if they had lost last night.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Kawhi Leonard could miss the remainder of the Clippers-Jazz series. He's going to miss tonight's Game 5 with a right knee injury, and he could be out the rest of the series, according to sources. Matter of fact, let's hear from our guy, Windhorse in Space, Brian Windhorst on KJZ talking about Kawhi's injury.
So many injuries, guys. It's really upsetting. And the Clippers yet again looked like they were getting some traction. And this is a devastating blow. It's going to, I don't know if it'll completely derail their chances, but how can I look at you with a straight face and tell you that it's not? It's my understanding that while this is not a serious knee injury, it is a type of injury that is going to keep him out for this series in all likelihood and potentially would keep him out for the rest of the playoffs, depending on how it recovers. Wow. It's so disappointing because obviously the Clippers last year, you know, were healthy at the end, but were off kilter because of their season. This year, they really focused on trying to hit their stride, and it's been choppy. But here they are with the ability to do it, and Kawhi and Paul George are playing well, and they're going to lose them, guys. This is going to be a year, it looks like, where he's going to be out for the playoffs when it matters. And it's just so disappointing, but this is the game now.
Here's the one thing I don't get with LeBron's, you know, tweet that, you know, there was too quick of a turnaround. He banged knees with somebody. He could have had 3 years off. He was going to get injured.
That's a good point.
Kyrie Irving jumped up and came down on Antetokounmpo's ankle. It had nothing to do, and Kyrie was not overworked. He didn't play in the bubble last year. That's nonsense. It's just nonsense. Chris Paul got COVID or was around somebody with COVID. That has nothing to do whatsoever with a quick turnaround. So tell me, you could say Harden. Okay. Harden, a muscle injury, you could say.
Yeah, and he plays constantly.
So. Right. So I don't get it. I don't get what LeBron is saying. And I know the stars that are out are big, but tell me the stars that are out that was a manifestation of not having enough time between the seasons.
Maybe.
And there were a lot of teams that didn't even play.
And by the way, I mean, this is, just from a fan standpoint, I know the injuries are frustrating, and maybe it has affected my series too. It happened with Kemba Walker. And Jaylen Brown was out at the end of the year. But, I don't know, guys, I find this year's playoffs immensely entertaining. And I'm not saying that the injuries are thus okay, but in terms of this being a product that fans aren't getting what they want, sure, if you're a Clippers fan, you're wildly disappointing. You're wildly disappointed. They have a tough matchup with Utah to start out with. I don't think either of them can get past Phoenix. I certainly don't think the Clippers could get past Phoenix. But yeah, while I hear LeBron's frustration, the average casual NBA fan, Michael Don, you guys aren't enjoying this here?
Where is it showing that the ratings are way up from where they were last year? Now, they might be a tick down from the year before that, but I think a lot of sports are going through that. But for a sport to not have LeBron James in it, all right, to not really have, you know, like the Nets are a super team, but it's not like the Lakers or the Knicks. Like, you don't have huge markets, right? Like, the Nets are Brooklyn, but it's not the team in New York, right? Clippers are not the Lakers. So even though you have the two biggest television markets, it's the second team in town, right? You've got Utah, you've got Phoenix, you know, you got Milwaukee. But why is it so much fun? Because it's competitive. We don't know who's going to win the championship now. We don't. That's why it was important. As much as Net fans don't want to hear this, if they were just going to go faux, then it wouldn't have been interesting. But now it's compelling because they could lose. And if they win, it won't be with the big three.
Yeah. Have either of you guys noticed that Andrew Gunling doing live reads?
Oh, listen, it was jarring. And no offense to him because he's a talent, but you don't hear it. So, like, during the break, I said to Anthony, is this a thing?
Well, hey there.
He's a big deal.
You'll ruin everything.
That's right, Andrew. You know, I got to tell you, I'd be extremely pumped for a Utah Phoenix series.
Yeah, I was thinking about that during the break. I think that would be that's a classic old school 90s conference final, right?
It really is. it's not to mention if we get the Suns and four guy on courtside for the playoffs.
Don't do that.
Beating people up.
Hey, news out of Citi Field. Mike Puma reporting that the Mets can play at full capacity beginning Monday. All previous COVID restrictions are lifted, and the Yankees can play at full capacity Friday, what they're calling reopening day, against the A's.
My last annoying COVID complaint.
Oh, no. What's that?
Did we have to bump up all of this stuff before the second shots were in? You couldn't have just waited?
I don't get you.
Well, yesterday, the full whole announcement, we're open, everything is full go.
Right.
It was done with 70% being at first shot. but herd immunity is not till 70% at both shots. Sue me. So I just, you know, people are ready.
Ready to get I also think the
financial
timing,
injection.
Because if you remember last year at this time was when the numbers went way down because people are outside. It doesn't spread as much, I guess, in the heat as it did in the cold, or at least that's the theory. Although people were getting it down to Florida and Arizona. But the point is people are outside. There's outside events. So I think they're basing a lot of that on the numbers from last year. Throw in the number of people that are fully vaccinated.
And they feel good enough.
And then by the time we get to the fall, when it could rise again, we'll have 70% but with everybody being vaccinated.
How about right. this? That's Anthony call, DeComo reporting, social distancing out at Citi Field, mask guidelines out, proof of COVID test and or vaccination out.
And listen, we've...
Wow, really?
Yep.
And Peter, we complained about...
But although like, Mike Puma's saying if you're unvaccinated, a mask needs to be worn. But if you... Anthony, at the same time, said there's no... You don't have to have proof of vaccination.
You can't be half pregnant, Anthony.
Well, why you siding with Anthony over Mike? Or siding with Mike over Anthony?
Are you going full Anthony with him?
I go Anthony now with Anthony Pusick, too.
Here's what they don't want to say. Is that it's not so much the fear of getting it, is that they probably feel comfortable if you get it, you're going to be okay. Because of the treatment now.
Hospitals being freed up.
Right. So I think that's the thing, is that, yeah, I guess it's possible if you go in without, if you lie and say that you're vaccinated, you're not, yeah, there could be a bit of a spread, but I guess they're saying it's not going to be. And there hasn't, guys, we talked about why are they full capacity on opening day in Texas and all that. There has not been a super spreader event in any of these games. We've had enough of them now over a long enough period of time. We would have seen a spike, and he didn't. So
that's right, man.
It's all systems go, I guess.
Well, all the systems are go for the New York Mets pitching staff. We know how good DeGrom has been. Stroman's been good. Bullpen's been good. Diaz's been good. But the emergence of Taijuan Walker, guys, he did it again. His ERA, 2.12. Struck out a career-high 12 last night, allowing two runs over seven against the red-hot Cubs. That means, with DeGrom and Stroman, along with Walker, the Mets have the three best pitchers in baseball. The best three pitcher combination in all of baseball.
Yep.
How do you like them apples, Donnie?
That's the difference. I mentioned it yesterday. When you look at the teams with the top earned run average, they're all playoff teams.
What is that?
The Sox could say, hold my drink.
Well, it would be hold my beer, but why would they say that?
Because their pitching staff is awesome.
But they don't. DeGrom's the X factor that puts you ahead.
I get it. Even. I understand. But they've got five outstanding starters. Like if the White Sox met the Mets in the World Series, other than the DeGrom game, and you could throw a Rodon against him, I don't think you're going to be completely overmatched. I just don't.
Yeah, but we didn't say that there's no one else in the conversation. Mm-hmm. We said the best three, the combo of three.
But you're saying that that's the truth.
That's right.
But it's, I don't think it's inarguable.
Well, statistically, it's true, Michael.
Well, it's right there. I mean, right now, earned run average-wise, the Mets are second at 3.12. The White Sox are third at 3.16. So that would be great. You know what?
I'd sign up for San Diego?
San Diego with 3.11. So that's how close it is. So I'll take Mets, White Sox right now. Sign me up.
Let's hear from Ron Darling on just how good DeGrom's been. We won't hear from him on our show probably, but he was on with Greeny earlier.
That's my fault.
It feels a lot like Tiger Woods when he was at his best, where you're having a hard time describing what he's doing. I've seen Nolan Ryan at his best, Steve Carlton, Dwight Gooden, of course. I was on the bench watching for his first 2 years. It was as good as it gets. But this guy's ability to prevent runs is beyond anything I've ever seen before. His athleticism, his insides, to go along with his physical gifts are just... it's a pleasure, Greeny, to call the games every fifth day.
Why is it your fault, Don?
Well, we have not been told he will not come on, but we've requested him, and he has refused each and every time. I can only assume is because I went up and in on his book. And I thought about reaching out to him, because it's just my opinion. I still like Ronnie. But I thought he was unfair to Lenny Dykstra, and nobody cares because Lenny Dykstra is a criminal. But still, I thought he was unfair to Lenny, and I thought he was unfair to Bob Murphy's memory. And I said it, and if he has got a problem with it, then we could talk about it. But I don't want to reach out to him and then it not be the case. But I can assume. I don't think you guys went up in and on him, and he always came on. So
I think it has something to do with it, because if you remember, when that came out, we had Dykstra on. We had Kevin Mitchell on. Every player that we had on said that it was not true what was written. And when we asked Ronnie to come on, he didn't come on.
Yeah, so I'm not going to take back what I said, but I still think that, you know, we can have a relationship, but whatever. I still think he was wrong.
I appreciate your honesty right there, Don. That'll do it for ENN on this Wednesday, June 16th.
Yeah, he's never liked you, Don, so I don't know if it's specific to this.
No, that's not true. That is not true at all. We always got along very famously.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.